I'd like Stuart to talk to me about the overall page, and I'd like Jean to talk to me about some characteristics of adolescence. Where you go.
Okay, the first infancy is where we all started in the business, where we made contacts with everything ourselves, from meeting clients to writing the business, to be paid for it. Then we realised that actually we don't want to do everything ourselves, we want to separate out the business, the processes, from our own involvement, and we perhaps employ an assistant. The third stage of maturity is where we're looking at a business that can run itself, and we have the choice of input into that business and what we take out of that business.
Okay. Thank you, Stuart. I want you to hold on to what Stuart's just said. And Annie McLaughlin, could you explain, therefore, in the third part of what Stuart said, which is maturity, what's the bit in magenta all about, the writing in magenta down the bottom right-hand side? What's that all about?
Starting really to think about what you're looking to get out of your involvement in the business, rather than looking at what the business needs first.
Okay.
Really learning what the business needs follow than what you need.
Yeah. There's a tension isn't there? There are actually three stages to this problem, taking what Andy's just said, if I can just expand on that, Andy. See, what you all do is you come to me with answers to questions where I say, what's the outcome of us working together? What do you want out of this relationship? What do you want to change in your life? And you say, I want my life to look like this. In 5 years' time, I want to be free. In the maturity area, you then say, what I want to do is this. And you say, I want... And then we find out that the business needs something else. And you say to me, I don't want to do that. I don't want to take on staff. Sick and tired of employing or managing people. Don't do that. I want to work by myself. Or whatever the answer to the question is. And I look at you, and I look at your outcome that you want from my relationship, the relationship with me in business coaching. And you keep saying, I want this. The business says, I need that. And that's the outcome. And the three don't align. Because this is all about, I want short-term gratification. This is just how I want to live right now. But I want this outcome in 5 years' time. And I'm saying, hold on a second, if that's what you want in 5 years' time, then there's a vehicle here, a tool called your business, which will deliver that, but you have to change how you behave in the meantime. And telling me I don't want to do that doesn't cut the mustard, because you'll end up with a business that doesn't deliver the outcome. That's the tension with just about everybody I meet. I want to behave like this, but I want an outcome like that, and the business can't handle that. Because you're suddenly just, you're just stretching the business beyond its capacity. It needs to deliver that, but you won't let it because you want this. It's the constant tension of every small business in the world. Andy?
Do you know the funny part about that is that we do this every day, don't we?
Yeah.
We're seeing clients, and I mean, a couple in my mind, this guy wants to retire at 55. We did a lifetime cash offer and said, this is what you need to do now. And then he came back and said, no, I don't want to do that now. So I went back and said, fine, you're going to retire at 57.
Yeah.
Do that. If you don't want the pain now, you're going to retire at 57.
In our lives, we constantly struggle between short-term gratification, how I want to feel today, and what I want my life to look like in 5 years' time. This is a constant battle in every human being. And it's hard work. In a business, the business gets in the way and it becomes really difficult to deal with. And every small business owner I've ever met struggles with this tension. Jean, so what's the middle column all about? What's the characteristic of an adolescent human being? Give me some.
Well, they're changing.
They're changing, yeah.
To adapting,
they
can be obnoxious.
Okay, let's just write this down. They're changing, yeah. They can be what?
Obnoxious.
obnoxious. In what way can they be obnoxious?
It can be very difficult because of all the changes that come into them at the time.
You think they're always correct?
Ah, they're always right. Ah, this is interesting. Always right, yeah. My 15-year-old knows everything. Do you realise that? If you ever want to know anything about anything, including business, come to my 15-year-old. She knows everything. There's nothing she don't know. And I'm looking at a bunch of human beings that probably behaved exactly the same way when they were 15. Am I right or am I right? Carry on. Okay. What else do they want? Carry on with your thoughts.
Freedom.
Yes. Yes. I want to be free. Free of what?
Parental control.
Yes. Free of control. Mainly your control, because you're the ones that keep doing it to them. Control and constraints. I want to be free. What else do they want? Anything else?
No, I can't think of anything else.
Okay.
Acne cream.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Acne cream.
Acne cream, yes. Yeah. Spotty.
They don't want advice.
They don't want advice. Oh, no. No advice. Don't give me advice. I know everything. I want to do it my way. Okay? They all love Frank Sinatra's My Way. Because it rings a bell with them. I did it my way. And this is why adolescent businesses are hardwired for failure. I don't want you to teach me constraints or rules or laws. I want to be flexible and free. It's not a problem, as long as you don't want your business to work. The universe works through law. Fight nature and it will destroy you. Sow a seed on a Monday morning and want corn on the cob on Monday afternoon and you're stuffed. Okay? Because it doesn't work like that. There are laws to follow. There are constraints and rules. And if you try and break them, they will break you. And if you want a successful business, you have to learn how to work with the powerful controls and constraints of a successful business. And if you try and avoid them, it will break you and you will never be free. Or you will eventually be free and waste years of your life in doing it, where you could have been free years ago. But you wanted your flexibility and freedom now. You wanted everything now. That's why we're hardwired for failure. And that's the tension. And that's why almost every IFA business in this country is in the realm of adolescence. Because that's what I hear. Don't give me regulation. I want to be free of all that nonsense. And yet I look at the pharmaceutical industry, probably the most heavily regulated industry on the planet, and yet they are the most successful and most profitable large corporates on the planet, bar very few other organisations that exist on Earth. That's interesting. Don't give me regulation and TCF. And stuff like that. Don't tell me what to do. I know how to treat my customers. And you're just missing the whole point. That's the way business works effectively to deliver the outcome that you want in your life. Fight it and it will break you. And you'll become consumed and exhausted. And wonder how many more years must this go on. It's a tough message, isn't it? Let's see how to change that. We're now going to go right back to the beginning of the Grand Canyon and demyelinate you. All right? And this is where it gets exciting. So that's the tough stuff. Now let's show how do we overcome all that. That's why we need today. That's the whole purpose of today. Now the rest of the day is, well, how do we get through that and change the future? Here we go. Have a look at page 7. Just stare at that for a while. And make some notes about the inner circles, the smaller circles, not the outer one. Just make some notes about what you know, what you've learned about the inner circles in your business life. What have I learned about those two inner circles that have helped me? Scribble some notes. Graham, what have you learned?
In terms of actions, obviously, organisation, structure, procedures that all help you to produce the results you require.
All right. Do you have a to-do list?
Yes.
Okay. How often do you make a to-do list?
Probably, sort of every week, and then it changes as the week goes on, yeah.
Yeah, me too. Does anybody ever do this? You make a to-do list, and you find a new task that you'd better do, and you put it on the to-do list and tick it off. Do you ever do that? I do it all the time. I just feel better having, and I tick it off. So now talk to me about goals, because goals are somewhat bigger and more future-based than actions and to-do lists, aren't they? Talk to me about what you've learned in your business life, and you've learned a lot about this. So just feed back to me what you've learned about goals. Simon, what have you learned about goals in business? If you were to teach the class on goals, what basic concepts would you teach?
Well, it's something that you really, really want to achieve, not just a wish.
Okay, it's more than a wish. And then we will learn, when we go to the Clever workshops, we all learn SMART goals, don't we? Everybody on, yeah? Everybody call on SMART goals, which stands for, come on, Nigel.
Specific, measurable, something realistic in time.
Achievable.
Realistic. So we're into goals, man. You know, we get goals, yeah? We could teach the lesson to the kids coming up into the industry. And most business leaders running a small business thinks, I'm goal-based, I'm going towards the future, this is where it's at. And that's not how those people that lead any industry, and by lead I mean lead in any possible way, whether in terms of effectiveness, success, power, authority, that's not the way they think. They don't work at the action level. They don't even work at the goal levels, although they have goals. They don't work at that level. They work on a completely different level to anybody else. They work on a level that we call conditions. And today, what I'd like to try and communicate to you is that managing a successful and effective small business is about managing the conditions of your life. Managing an effective and successful small business is about learning to manage the conditions of your life. What does that mean? I'll say that once more. Managing an effective and successful small business is about managing the conditions of your life. And the whole of today is about you learning to manage conditions. This is how movers, shakers, and leaders think and work in a stratosphere that you've not even been to. Or if you have, you don't know you were up there. And I want to make this conscious today. so that from today onwards, as you walk out here at 5 o'clock, you'll be thinking conditions in everything that you do in your business life. It will just change the way you think. It will be like you've never had these glasses on, and everything is kind of, you just all look so beautiful. I mean, you look stunning, all of you. And this, Peter.
Is this like, this is really good start today, Dave. Is this like setting a goal to sail around the world and then not actually learning how to sail a ship, not taking any navigation classes, not buying a boat, not practicing, but just having this goal that I'm going to sail?
That will be one excellent example, and we're going to take it that global. That will be a super example to start thinking about the process. To have a goal to sail around the world and not doing all the things that Peter just suggested is an excellent start to getting this process going in our myelinated head. So now I'm going to start putting some glasses on. Oh my goodness. Conditions. Conditions are about creating context. That's where you start to create the environment in which everybody else works. Welcome, Ian. It's almost where you start. You're back on that table there. Do you have Ian's badge there? Thank you. It's where you actually start to create the atmosphere, the oxygen, where you create everything around the planet that the planet needs to exist. Can you imagine controlling all that? It's that powerful. And this is where movers and shakers work. They are that high level thinking, they create the context in which you live. How scary is that? They create the context in which you live. Turn over the page and I'll show you what I mean. Look at the top right hand box. These are people that work on conditions of life in which you decide to live. So think of politicians. Think of Gordon Brown and his cohorts and all the opposition parties. How are they creating conditions in which you and I live? How do they do that? Arthur, how do they start doing that? I didn't say how well, I said how. How do they do it?
They get themselves into a position of power
and do
that
what?
They self-regulate, they are able to do virtually as they wish.
To create what? What's the conditions they create?
What are the conditions that they create? Self-power.
Yeah, but that's about them. What do they conditions do they create for the other 60 million people in the country? What conditions do they create?
Well, they make... They believe that they control us, they rule us, they have us doing things for them.
Okay, but what conditions do they create?
Us.
Okay. I'm not asking how they think, I'm asking you what conditions do they create. Simon.
Set the rules, the laws, the framework.
Obedience.
Yes. They create all the framework and all the rules and all the laws by which everybody else in the country then lives. That's what they do. That's the reason they ask for the job. That's why they run for office. They want to change the framework to look like the way they think the framework should look like, in order that everybody is then happy in their way. Does that make sense? We think the framework of the country should look like this, in the way everybody lives and has life. Therefore, we'd like to create the framework or change it. Therefore, we have to get to those positions where we can completely change the rules, the laws, the governing regulation, the framework, the systems, the transport systems, the road systems, the housing systems, the energy systems in which these other guys live. That's what they do. Does that make sense? How powerful is that in terms of conditioning? And then you and I live within those frameworks. And if we don't like the framework, what do we do? What do we do?
Change the government.
We change the condition setters for another set of condition setters, and we hope they get the framework and conditions right. And then 10 years later we get miserable about those condition setters, so we all change our minds and change it again. And we just go like this forever and ever and ever. Because half of the population never likes the conditions, and so it goes on forever. And it will always go on like that in this kind of political system. Do you see the power of condition setting? This is not a to-do list. This is not a set of smart action goals. This is, let me change the conditions in which you live. And I'm trying to get you today to think like that. How do I create the conditions that will make something different happen in my life? That's the question. Read down that box and just make some notes down below about the top right-hand box. Things that you think about them and how they create conditions. Just make some notes. Have a look at the top right-hand box. Giving you some examples. Take media. Media is a really powerful one. I want to know about media and how they create conditions in which we all then live. And then before you finish, I'd like you to give me one more example that you've thought of a type of person who creates conditions for other people to live in. Does that make sense? Give me another example, because I've only thought of a few. First of all, give me some thoughts on the ones I've suggested, and then give me another example. And I'd encourage you to think about media. That's a huge one. How do they create... Sorry?
Could you just repeat that last bit a bit? What was
the last request? Yeah, once you've worked out, well, how do these people create conditions for me, then give me another example of another type of organisational person that creates conditions. We've done that. Final exercise on this page. Ready? Have a look at the bottom right-hand box also. And make some notes about what you think I'm trying to say there. What's your reality model all about? What am I trying to communicate there in that bottom right-hand box? This is more personal. This is where you have created conditions for yourself. Even if you don't know you've done it. You, in your personal life, have created masses of conditions. And I've given you some clues there as to how it's happened. Right, let's try this then. Stu, talk to me about the top right-hand box and thoughts you had on that.
I think it's a very profound statement, but it's also very, very true as well. We are influenced massively by those listed down there. Sometimes, well, in fact, most of the time it's quite subtly, subliminally, yeah. I would say. Sometimes quite directly.
Yeah.
But we are very influenced by those organisations.
Okay, can you give me any examples of that, specific examples and ways?
Yeah. Well, for example, the media... they shape our opinion regarding certain things. You sort of have headlines that says outrage by a certain thing or some disaster, some, what's the phrase I'm looking for, some scandal which is possibly less important compared to what's happening in the real world, you know.
Yeah.
For example, Jordan and Peter, you know, it's trivia compared to what's going on out there in places like Iran, you know, but it's getting headlines.
Yeah.
So
they not only condition how you think, but they condition what they decide they want you to think about today. And we fall for it all the time. Interesting. Any other thoughts from this table? Fred?
Just on the same tenet there, David, on the media side of things, over the last 18 months they've been shouting doom and gloom, credit crunch, we can't spend money going out anymore, because we don't have it. And I think that's reflected in the recent figures of Currys, because the electrical goods aren't being bought as much.
so therefore their losses have increased. And I think that's because of the media influence on that.
Okay. So the media, Fred is saying, even have an influence on the quality and depth of the recession. That's real, but they have an influence on it. And what is it that eventually continues driving a recession or an economic slump? What continues driving that?
Sentiment.
Yeah, sentiment, how people feel, whether there's any feeling of green shoots and all that kind of stuff. Oh blimey, I see a green shoot, let's hype that one up on the news. And every politician will grab hold of it in order to make you feel differently and function in a different way. This is all very powerful. Now let's drop to the bottom right hand box. So I think you understand that, you get that concept of how we're influenced now, how our lives are shaped and moved around by these condition setters on you. No matter how free you think you are, how liberal and independent you think you are, they're shaping the way you behave. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? Now talk to me about the bottom right hand box. Kate, why don't you start us off?
I think, you know, obviously we all have our own set of beliefs, our own set of values, and I think they are shaped by our life experiences, by our family, by our close personal relationships, friends, and so obviously the choices that we make on who we spend time with all comes down to, again, your beliefs and values, and you're going to be comfortable with those.
Yeah.
In turn, you know, it's a two-way street, because it can be, you can develop or change your beliefs and values depending on who you're spending time with as well.
Yeah. So all these shape, did everybody get what Kate was saying? All these shape the way you now behave, from the way you've decided to condition your life, or other people have decided to condition your life in the past, then produces the human being I see sitting in front of me.